Welcome to Medication Insider's podcast on green tea. One of my clients asked me about, what about green tea for diabetes? Is it good for you? Well, first off, what is green tea? We usually think of tea as more dark, but there is green tea, white tea, black tea, and oolong tea. They're all harvested from the same plant, but how they're processed differs. The least processed and hardest to come by is the white tea, which is harvested only at certain times of the year and just when the buds are not fully out and they have this white hair-like covering, which gives it its name, white tea. Green tea is steamed and then lightly dried. So it's the next least processed tea. Oolong tea is partially fermented. So it's a milder tea than black tea, which is fully fermented. There's controversy as to how much caffeine each of these teas have. Does white tea have more caffeine than green tea? Or black tea or oolong tea. And it does depend on how long you brew the tea itself. White tea tends to be brewed at a lower temperature and for a less long time. So you don't brew it as long. And that reduces the caffeine intake. Though if you brewed it equally for the same amount of time as, let's say, black tea, you could get as much or possibly even more caffeine. So green tea is the way it's usually brewed as a tea will have almost as much caffeine as black tea or oolong tea. What's interesting about green tea is when it's used in a supplement or an extract, you have to be careful about how much caffeine is in that supplement. Because the label does not have to state how much caffeine is in the green tea. They only have to state, well, how much caffeine is in the product that's been added. So if you have green tea plus added caffeine, then you're getting much more caffeine than you may think. So you have to consider that the green tea has approximately 50 milligrams of caffeine in each cup. And that's about half of the caffeine that's naturally found in coffee. Coffee tends to have anywhere from 80 to 100 milligrams of caffeine in a cup. But we're talking about a cup, not a 12-ounce latte or a 16-ounce latte. One component found in green tea is of concern because if you ingest a large amount of it, it can actually be hard on your liver. And there's actually labeling in the United States that states that for green tea extract, it states that it says to not take on an empty stomach, take with food, and do not use if you have a liver problem, and discontinue use and consult a healthcare practitioner if you develop symptoms of liver trouble, such as abdominal pain, dark urine, or jaundice, which is also described as yellowing of the skin and eyes. So for green tea extracts sold in the United States under the USP, United States Pharmacopeia, must have this disclaimer text on the label. But overall, when drank as a beverage, green tea is generally pretty well tolerated. And the worst adverse effects can be bloating, constipation, diarrhea, dyspepsia, gas, or nausea. And when you drink moderate amounts, it should have not any concern. The other issue that comes to light with green tea is that it may have some antioxidants, and those might be beneficial to help prevent certain kinds of cardiovascular disease, such as strokes and heart disease. That was noted in a study of Japanese. Drinking 3 to 5 cups of green tea a day, comparing it to a control group drinking less than 1 cup of green tea per day. Large amounts of green tea, however, can deplete your body of folate. It can interfere with an enzyme that allows your body to have folate. And folate's very important if you're pregnant, because folate is important in the developing fetus. In fact, deficiencies of folate can cause a very serious birth defect called spina bifida, where the central nervous system, the spinal cord, is missing, which can be a very serious thing. In fact, it's so concerning that the federal government actually uses it as a food additive, and it adds it to enriched flours, and such as wheat and other cereals. And it's been recommended to also add it to corn masa so that people who make their own tortillas can also get the benefit of the addition of folate to help prevent birth defects. Green tea, as drunk as a beverage, may reduce endometrial cancer and ovarian cancer. So there may be some benefit there. If you compare it to people who never have tea, it can be associated with up to a 36% decrease risk of ovarian cancer. So that's 2 or more cups of green tea a day. And people who drink green tea often, at least once a day, have up to a 23% decrease in their risk of developing endometrial cancer. So there may be some benefit to having green tea in your diet. But it doesn't seem to help if you already have the cancer as far as recurrence, just originally. The green tea is also used topically, but not in this country significantly. There may be a benefit in preventing breast cancer, but it isn't clear exactly who's benefiting. Some people may and some people may not. And then back to the question that one of my clients brought up, and that is, can it help people with diabetes? Well, it may be beneficial. A study found in Japanese adults drinking 6 or more cups of green tea a day showed that they had a 33% decreased risk of developing type 2 diabetes when compared to people that have less than 1 cup of green tea a day. However, when they tried to repeat this, they weren't able to show that drinking a cup of green tea 3 times a day would improve your fasting blood glucose or your hemoglobin A1C compared to people who didn't, if you were both pre-diabetic. So can green tea prevent the progression of pre-diabetes to diabetes? It's not clear. And there is inconsistent results when you look at people who have type 2 diabetes. There's been some research suggesting at least 4 cups of green tea a day is associated with a mortality risk reduction of 40%. And that they can reduce fasting blood glucose in people that actually have type 2 diabetes or are borderline. However, when a group of small clinical trials was looked at more carefully, it doesn't seem to hold up. So it's inconsistent. The data is inconsistent. There is some benefit that green tea extract may reduce your fasting triglycerides. Okay. And possibly total cholesterol. And that you may have a benefit as far as reducing body weight and body fat. And this is only noticed in people who are overweight, but it's unclear what the benefit of that is. So green tea in moderation would be useful. Green tea extract in high amounts could possibly cause heart irregularities, like heart racing heart, sleep disturbances because of the amount of caffeine it would have, and also the potential for people who have liver issues being harmed by one of the components in green tea, so that high doses are not safe. So it's really interesting to look at green tea and see if this might be a benefit to you. So how would you figure out if you're getting the benefit of green tea? What I strongly recommend to anyone who wants to take a supplement to improve their health is to do it more scientifically. It's been shown that people who don't write down how they're doing, then when they try to recreate that a week or two later, even two or three days later, they try to recall how they felt, that it is wildly inconsistent. So all scientific studies insist on people documenting how they're doing at the time instead of asking them to record what happened a week ago. So what does this mean to you? It means that I recommend using a symptom diary approach. That means that you say to yourself, hey, what do I want this supplement to do for me? And in the case of diabetes, it would be, do I want it to help me lose weight? Do I want it to help me lower my blood sugar, to lower my triglycerides or my lipids? And then you can say, okay, what is my average blood sugar in the morning and my average blood sugar in the evening? What is my weight at this time? And then you do that before you start your very first dose. And then you track with blood sugar. That could be once a week. Weight could be once a week, or could be twice a week. But it's really, really important that you write it down as you go, instead of trying to remember what you felt like before you ever started on the supplement. Again, that is not accurate. And too many times I run into people that have been taking a supplement, sometimes an expensive one for $30, $40 a month. And when I ask them, why are you taking that? They look at me and go, well, it might make me more healthy. And then the question becomes, how would you know whether it did or not? Well, they don't have a good answer. And most people who take supplements don't get a significant benefit from them. In fact, the companies that sell these products are counting on that. That's how they make their money, is that you buy it month after month, hoping that at some point in the future, you might notice a difference. But it's best to know whether you are responding to it more scientifically. And I suggest give it at least a month, maybe 2 to 3 months at the most. But if you are doing your diary, your symptom diary, once or twice a week, you should be able to tell that it's working or not. And if it's not working after 8 weeks, really, do you really want to waste your money? That's really important because your body has to detoxify everything that goes in it. And if that supplement was powerful enough to help you, it's also powerful enough for your body to have to detoxify it and eliminate it. So if you are thinking about taking green tea as a supplement, and there's some benefit to some folks, if you have diabetes, that might help you, or that you have elevated cholesterol, that it might help you. And possibly, if you have a weight that you want to get down, it may help you. But if you don't track how it's helping you, you won't know for sure. Again, the Chinese proverb is, the faintest ink is more powerful than memory. So try a symptom diary if you're going to try a supplement so that you can see if you truly are responding to it and benefiting. And if you're not, then my suggestion is to not waste your money. This has been the Medication Insider podcast on green tea. Thank you for listening.